400 years, doing said that, hung with the hours. The party.
Now you're going to hear some music that is just the opposite of soft music. Can you guess what kind of music it will be? Listen.
Last night I was digging in the cemetery. Up jumps a man, all black and hairy. Well, he looked at me with his beady red eyes, and I'm telling you, I got quite a surprise.
Frankenstein International.
Once a group of young boys were playing in a place that they shouldn't, the graveyard. One little boy, Davey, saw something red on top of a very old grave. He stooped to pick it up and found that it was stuck. And he pulled and tugged and it finally came loose, tumbling him right over backwards. And there in his hand was a small knife with a bright red handle. The other boy said, "You'd better put it back where you found it." But Davy, he was a stubborn lad, and he was determined to keep it, saying, "Finders keepers, losers weepers." Soon they tired of their play and all went to their own homes. Davy ate his supper, said goodnight to his parents, then walked by the old grandfather's clock and climbed the 10 stairs that led to his second floor bedroom. He took another look at the little red knife, laid it on his bed. Then he went in and brushed his teeth, climbed into his pajamas, and popped into bed. He took one last look at the little red knife, put it under his pillow, and was soon fast asleep. Sometime much later, he awoke. He was cold, very, very cold. He had a funny, creepy feeling inside his stomach. Suddenly, he heard a slight rustling noise at the bottom of the stairs. Who's there? He whispered. "Give me back my knife," came the answer. It's mine. I found it," whimpered Davy, and "I won't give it back." "Then I'll come and get it." Davy buried himself under the covers and waited stubbornly, holding on to the knife. Now I'm on the first step. Now I'm on the second step. Now I'm on the third step. Now I'm on the fourth step. Davy was petrified. Now I'm on the fifth step. Now I'm on the sixth step. Now I'm on the seventh step. Now I'm on the eighth step. Davy was trembling all over. Now I'm on the ninth step. Now I'm on the tenth step. I've got you!
Come with us on a journey through sound.
Welcome to Radio Frankenstein International, broadcasting from Sunderland to the universe. This is a Halloween 2020 show, starting with two very good examples of why messing about in graveyards is a bad idea. Screaming Lord Sutch, with All Black and Hairy. Followed by The Little Red Knife, read by Lon Chaney Jr. Blue Oyster Cult with Don't Fear the Reaper.
Panic in the streets.
Panic.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks, gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. Ah, werewolves of London. Around your kitchen door, you better not let him in. Little old lady got mutilated late last night. Werewolves of London again. Ah, werewolves of London. Hairy-handed gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him, he'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his tailor. Ah, werewolves of London. Well, I saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. Hair was perfect. Ah, werewolves of London. Draw blood. Ah, werewolves of London.
Skeleton makes good. There's so many things to feel and see while you're awake. They're just out of reach, out of grasp. Yeah, out of reach. And just as many, maybe more, the minute that you sleep. So I got to throw my preach. skeleton breath, scorpion blush. I have a crush on your skeleton. Watch out, unsuspecting stranger. You'll fall off the log, head first into dreams, end up screaming. This will calm the wolf, and that will calm the fog. What will peen the rain? What will preen the hog? Oh, you mean earth and hell over you, and laugh at your tire tracks if you get up. Skeleton makes good.
Little cluster started with Werewolves of London by Warren Seven. Captain Beefheart Red Skeleton Makes Good. And the Lounge Lizards rounded things off with You Haunt Me.
How to see ghosts or surely bring them to you. This part of the book is for children who were born in the morning or around lunchtime. If you were born at midnight, some say just at twilight, You were probably born with the gift of being able to see ghosts and other spirits and don't have to be told how. Of course, all cats, dogs, horses, and roosters can see ghosts, but lots of people cannot see ghosts, even though they can usually hear them. And lots of people don't believe in ghosts because they say they never saw one. So anyone who wants to see a ghost, here's how. If you really mean it, if you really want to see a ghost, go walk around a grave 12 times backward, and the ghost will rise and ask you what you want. Some people say that just walking around the grave will raise the ghost, and some say you have to do it backward 12 times. Or if you want to summon some one particular ghost, go to his grave at night and call him by name. He will rise and tell you what you want to know. Some ghosts can be summoned by music. If you sing or play some piece of music or some special musical instrument that someone loved, especially during life, the ghost will come to see you. Some people say that you can raise a ghost by whistling. You might, and you might not. It has happened. Once a man was walking along a road at night, whistling some tune, and a ghost fell into step beside him, whistling the same tune. You can call back some loved ghost by too much grief and weeping. Almost any ghost will come back to comfort those they love and stop their weeping. The poor souls cannot rest if you weep too much. They will come back and beg you to let them rest. You can become a ghost seer by looking in through a hole in a coffin. This is especially true in some far northern countries, like Lithuania, for instance, where people leave little windows in the coffin so the dead can see out. You can see ghosts and spirits by peering at them from between a dog's ears. It is well known that dogs can see ghosts. So if you look steadily from between a dog's ears in the direction the dog is looking, you will see the same ghost he sees. You can see ghosts sometimes if you gaze steadily through a ring. If you look through a keyhole, you'll either see a ghost or the devil. In fact, there's no telling what you might see. Better not. Just say you aren't scared. Just say how brave and nonchalant you'd be if you ever saw a ghost. And see what happens.
Centuries. Michael Haight, 1654, 1698, Brownstove Street, Flanders, England. John Dayton, 1891, 1954.
Hand on quill. Martha needs you. Your hand is made of gold. Tiny Cake was a friend of Pierre Gatti's, of Max. John said to go to Radion, of the far west wall of Eastern Cote and Gaul. Galax Satan, 1001. Go to the well of the great God. Do not be afraid. Say, Lord of the wind, keep off the seas. You must go to the heart and the head. Go to Malik and Circe and Monet and Uzus. Say to Jonah, say to Seya, sunny, sunny, sunny soil, foot of Satan, go away. I play my boot for you, Satan. Say so, I said to the hands of my son, Jared. Say it, Obia. Say it, said. Sultan, say it. 777!
Hand on pen, tell me straight.
Watch out for the Grandmaster. They are calling me. I must go. Richard Carr, my money man, is Jonathan Harleen of Hildo Strolley, and he is far away. Darling Sandra of Willoughby Street, Connecticut, I have not forgot you. I want to be with you again. I do not like being here. Is lonely. I meet all kinds of people, rich and poor. Hell is no good. I love you. They won't let me rest.
God is not dead, Bootleg.
Touch it.
My dear Samuel, I am only away for a while. Tell the people to stop warring. Tell the people to stop shedding blood. Tell the people to love. They're calling me. I am fading.
Vincent Price advised on how to see ghosts, or surely bring them to you. Followed by Seance in the Sixth Fret by Exuma.
Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Frankenstein International, broadcasting from Sunderland to the universe.
Know where to begin. I remember we were cruising home from the Beatles concert. I'd had such a wonderful evening sitting there watching my baby screaming and tearing her hair out and carrying on. She was so full of life then. Well, We were about 3 miles from home when all of a sudden it started to rain. And I do mean rain. I couldn't hardly see nothing. Well, we kept driving for about another mile when all of a sudden I see this stalled car right smack in front of me. Well, I wasn't about to slam on the brakes because it didn't have none to start with. So I swerved to the left, and what do I see? Some mush head on a motorcycle heading right at us. And I knew at last, me and my baby were about to meet the leader of the... pack. Well, when I come to, I looked around, and there was the leader, and there was the pack, and over there was my baby, and over there was my baby, and way over there was my baby. I want my baby back, gotta have my baby back. It's been many months now since that fateful night, and you know something, I've tried. Believe me, I have tried, but I just can't make it without my baby. So I've decided I'm gonna have her back one way or another. Oh baby, I dig you so much. Hot dang, pay dirt.
I Want My Baby Back by Jimmy Cross.
Kinko, Kinko, the kid-loving clown. If the kids just love me back, I'll never wear a frown. Kinko, Kinko, the kid-loving clown. If the kids just love me back, I'll never wear a frown. Kinko's in his Kinko car, pockets full of change. Lots of dirty pictures and sticky candy canes. All the kids love Kinko for the presents that they get. Silly leather clothes to wear and happy cigarettes. Hi, boys and girls, my name is Kinko the Clown. And I really love you boys and girls. Really, really. But my legs get tired standing out in the parking lot handing out stale Tootsie Rolls to you little rugrats. So if anyone wants to come back to Kinko's trailer and massage his legs, he'd really, really like it.
Okay,
really,
Kinko.
Really. Kinko, Kinko, the kid-loving clown. If the kids just love me back, I'll never wear a frown. Kinko, Kinko, the kid-loving clown. If the kids just love me back, I'll never wear a frown.
We go to Kinko's clubhouse sometimes after school. We play in Kinko's crawl space, there's never any rules. We have to sit on Kinko's lap, there's never any chairs. Kinko likes to tickle us and give us funny stares.
Gee, I haven't had this much fun since Christmas when I got to play Santa Claus and all the boys and girls got to sit on Kinko's lap. But that was in Indianapolis, and thanks to the liberal reciprocity laws here, Kinko can be with you boys and girls today or anytime.
Jimmy Johnson ran away and didn't say goodbye. Kinko went to look for him to help the FBI. But Kinko had some handcuffs on, his eyes were full of tears.
Said, I'll be back to play with you sometime in 20 years.
Oh!
Kinko, Kinko, the kid-loving clown. The parents wanna beat me up and run me out of town. Kinko, Kinko, the kid-loving clown. Tar and feather Kinko and run him out of town.
Okay, Short Eyes, get in that car.
Ooh, bye, boys and girls.
Bye, Kinko.
Bye. Kinko really loves you, boys and girls. Really, really.
I hope that I shall never see all the Moke Monsters lined up in front of me. True repulse and total disgust. Getting rid of Moke is an imperative must. These are just to name a few. We hope they don't influence you. Moke Monster. Yonder comes a soft car, which probably won't take me very far. The organ grinder behind the wheel is hoping he can score a feel. His eyes are bulging at your bod. He thinks you are a free-loving mod. Moke Monster.
Well, there's quite a few people that drive soft cars, and they usually stop and pick us up hitchhiking because they want to beat their meat while they look at us. You know, I've had such weird offers. For instance, you've heard them all. This one man had a drawn-on mustache, and it was drooling down one corner of his mouth, and he had black drool coming down his mouth. So horrible. And he drove us all the way home from L.A. I couldn't believe it. And then when right after he dropped us off, he turned around and goes, $10 to eat it. And we went, ah! And we left his car, and his doors were flapping like this. They were, you know. And before he left, he screamed out the window, you know. He said, can I... Oh, what was that? Oh, I'll give you $5 a piece if I can sit and jack off while I look at your legs. Isn't that outrageous? Now, those are demented, those poor men. I feel so sorry for them. I could... Oh, my God. And there's more of those than there is sane people.
What the dead lack? Is substance. They're so nebulous. And rarefied. That a gas like helium seems to them as solid as a beefsteak. A child's balloon full of helium. Feeds a whole cemetery of ghosts. For a week. Words are money. The way time was once. Time means nothing to them now. But words. Hot air shaped by thought into blobs and ribbons of intelligible discourse. Words have but value. Words are tangible to the dead.
Legal. Tender.
Abstract terms, less tangible. Lower value. The most solid language unit with the highest value. As a hard currency is the noun verb.
Ogden Edsel started that section with Kinko the Clown. Because if there's one thing scarier than a clown, it's probably a pedophile clown. Then, the GTOs with another everyday horror, the Mock Monster. And finally, Andy Partridge and Peter Bleved with noun verbs.
Alright, now you know about different religions?
Mm-hmm.
You know about Hare Krishna?
Mm-mm.
You know about the Moonies, Reverend Moon from Korea?
Mm-hmm.
You know about the Baptists?
No.
You know
really.
About the Holy Roly, the hillbilly mountain type of religion?
No.
The shouting and the typing?
No.
You know about African voodoo ritual dances?
Not really.
But you have seen it in motion pictures.
No.
Then the thing, the concept is metaphysics, occult science, something to deal with the scary part of life.
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly what I, the better word that you know, obake.
That's ghost.
Does it matter? Ghost or what? It's something that's unnatural for people in this world to deal with. There are people in this world have places here they call haunted houses.
Some
people are afraid of ghosts. Some people will not walk through the graveyard.
Hand of Glory. Ingredients: one hand of a felon, part of a funeral pall, zimat, nitre, salt, fern and vervain, optional, long peppers, fat of a gibbeted felon, virgin wax, sesame, pony. Preparation: take the right or left hand of a felon who is hanging from a gibbet by the highway. Wrap it in a bit of funeral pall, and very tightly so. Put it into an earthenware vessel with zimat, niter, salt, and long peppers, all very well powdered. Leave it thus for a fortnight, and then take it out and expose it to full sunlight during the dog days until quite dry. If the sun be insufficient, try an oven heated with fern and vervain. Next, make a candle with the fat of the gibbeted felon, virgin wax, sesame, and pony. Use the Hand of Glory as holder for this candle. The use of the Hand of Glory thus created is to render those to whom it is displayed into a stupefied and motionless state, in such a way that they can no more stir than if dead. Protection against the Hand of Glory. Ingredients: gall of one black cat, fat of a white hen, blood of a screech owl. Preparation: compound the above during the dog days. Rub the threshold or other parts of the house where entry may be made with this unguent, and you will be safe.
Ustas. Dear Kitos, my friend, good day. Hoping you are keeping the best of health. How is the music down there in Boneyard? I hear that Busby have a sound system, and that Naya Keith is the disc jockey. But them can't get no red stripe beer for selling a dance at night. Tell Zaki, the high priest, who used to lead the toughest, one who could go, toughest, give him my regards. Tell him, Prince Buster says, hello. Rashi, you know Rashi from Bakawal, give him my regards. And if you should see the two brothers, Stinky Pommels and Kurban, we grew together, tell them, Prince Buster says, so long, sorry we had to go so soon. Since music be the food of love, I'll forever sing on. And first as all, we'll soon get back on ship.
Screaming Jay Hawkins started that section with Voodoo Priestess. Then, Vincent Price advised on how to make a Hand of Glory. And finally, Prince Buster with Ghost Dance. And that brings us to the end of the show.
We hope you've enjoyed this journey through sounds.
Radio Frankenstein International thanks you for your company this Halloween. We'll play out with Lon Chaney Jr. and a creepy little tale entitled The Yellow Ribbon.
John and Jane lived next door to each other. They went to the first grade together, and John loved Jane very much. Jane always wore a yellow ribbon around her neck every day. One day, John said, why do you wear that yellow ribbon around your neck? And Jane said, maybe she'd tell him later. Well, next year they were in the second grade. One day John asked, why do you wear that yellow ribbon around your neck? And Jane said, maybe she'd tell him later. Well, time went by. And every once in a while, John asked Jane why she wore that yellow ribbon. But Jane never told. So time went on and on. John and Jane went through high school together, and they loved each other very, very much. On graduation day, John asked Jane, please, to tell him why she always wore the yellow ribbon around her neck. But Jane said there was no point in telling on graduation day, so she didn't tell. Well, time went by, and John and Jane became engaged, and finally, Jane said that maybe she would tell him on their wedding day. Well, the wedding day came, and John was so happy, he forgot to ask. But the next day, John asked Jane why she wore the yellow ribbon, and Jane said, well, we're happily married, and we love each other very much, so what difference does it make? So John let it pass, but he still did so want to know. Well, time went by, and finally, on their 50th wedding anniversary, John asked Jane again. And Jane said, well, since we've waited this long, we can wait a little longer, can't we? Finally, when they were very old, Jane was taken very ill. And when she was dying, John asked again, between sobs, please, please tell me why you wore that yellow ribbon around your neck. All right, said Jane, you may untie it. So John untied the yellow ribbon ever so gently. And he looked aghast as Jane's head